Amen. Amen. Giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to our deacons, mothers, to everyone in their respective places. Amen. It's a blessing to see Minister Joyce back in the house. Amen. I definitely been thinking about her and praying about her. She's been on my mind. Thank God for allowing her to be here. Amen. It's good to see you. Amen. We are definitely keeping your family lifted up in prayer. And to each and every one, to my wife who's worked a midnight shift, just got off this morning. Keep her lifted up in prayer. Amen. Turn to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? I'm reading from the King James Version. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Amen. To the readers, hearers, and doers of God's word. Amen. Scripture also goes on to say in verse 3, thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thou thine hand upon me. We serve in all-knowing God. There is nothing God does not know. One of the things I want to say to you is, you know how you have folks on your job that try to make a name for themselves? Or let's just say you playing amateur sports. Somebody is trying to be Michael Jordan or Kobe, trying to make a name for themselves. But you don't have to make a name for yourself to be known by God. God already knows the least as well as the greatest by name. God knows all persons by name. He has even assigned names to his creation. He has determined the number of stars and called them each by name. There has never been a nameless person ever conceived. The unknown soldiers of the world are known to God. The John and the Jane Does of the world have a name to God. All of the unknown and unnamed of history are known and named in the mind of God because he is all-knowing. God knows everything that has ever been, that is, and that will ever be. Jesus says God can even know what might have been. God actually know the answer to all of the what ifs questions of life. My mom used to hate my brother and I. We used to do the what ifs to her. And it I don't know if it did, but it seemed that it aggravated her because we kept what ifing her. Okay? But God knows all the what ifs that would have come into history centuries earlier and done his miracles in some of those corrupt cities and some of those corrupt towns. Jesus says, not only does God know what would have been and how these wicked cities would have responded, but he says his judgment of these people would be modified by this knowing of what might have been. Jesus takes God's all-knowing into a realm that is beyond the mind of man. That as far as I can determine, it is an embarrassment to many theologians. See, many theologians lock God into only being able to know what he has foreordained or predestined to know. In other words, they say the reason God knows all is because he has decreed it to be. All God knows is what he has decreed it to be. But Jesus says God not only can know what he would do in all possible situations, but he can know what men would do in all possible situations. That's powerful. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, 33, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out, who has known the mind of the Lord. We cannot know God as he knows us. God knows us completely, but we can only know him partially. This means God is by his very nature incomprehensible. This means that whatever we know about God is not the ultimate in what is knowable about God. God knows much more about himself than what we could reveal, than what he could reveal to us, because it is beyond our capacity to comprehend. So when somebody tell you they know all about God, that's a liar. You know enough about God. God is always beyond us, or he could not be God. A God we fully comprehend would be unworthy of our worship and our praise. Amen? In the book of Job, chapter 11, around verse 7 and 8, is a series of questions that speak to some issues. Can you fathom the mystery of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths of the grave. What can you know? There is no basis for pride in theology. For what we know of God, he has either made clear by his creation and his world, or by revelation and his word. That's what God has done for us. God says in Isaiah chapter 55 and 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than your thoughts. How much higher are the heavens than the earth? Even this is beyond our measure. For we have not yet comprehended the creation of God, and this is but the work of his fingers. God created us to love him. Let me say that again. God created us to love him and not to comprehend him, but to think that we fully grasp him is to begin to lose him. Amen? The Bible says, thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. When David considered the all-knowing of God in his own life, God, he was saying, God knows when I sit down And when I stand up, he knows when I plop into this lazy boy. And when I get up and get another piece of nacho cheese. God can perceive thoughts from afar off. It's amazing and difficult to comprehend, but God knows what we think even before we think it. Before it even comes to your mouth, your tongue, God already knows what you're getting ready to say. You know, we may know God, but not comprehend him. What this means is we can know how God knows much, but we cannot know how he knows all. Mine is not going to go there. Some people can do two or three things at once. And some have the capability of concentrating that they can remember hundreds of things at the same time. But this is amateur night compared to God. God specializes in everything and attends to all things that exist at once. God naturally knows. We can grasp how God can know all he has ordained. We can see how it's possible for God to know what is happening anywhere in the universe. His all-knowing makes this inevitable. If God is everywhere present, he will know everything that is part of reality. The eyes of the Lord is everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account to. The eye has been a symbol of God throughout history. God is watching everything we do, even the things that's ungodly. He's watching. He's looking. As a matter of fact, he's never stopped looking. He's always looking. All people of all time and all places will be treated equally by God. God's all-knowing makes him the only complete and absolute fair judge that has ever been or could ever be. No other judge can know all the facts and of all the knowledge to make an absolute perfect judgment. Only God can have the knowledge adequate to be the final judge of men. He alone can know what might have been had the guilty been given the same opportunity as the innocent. God's knowing what might have been is illustrated in God's word. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, Saul was pursuing David. And David prayed to God. And when David learned that Saul knew his whereabouts, he prayed to God for guidance and said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely that Saul plans to kill me in this place. While the city, the citizens of Calais, will they surrender me to him?" David was wanting to know, "God, will these people turn me over to Saul, who's pursuing me? Will Saul come and get me? O Lord God of Israel, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will." God made it plain. David prayed to God again, asked God the same thing. God said, "Yes, he will come and kill you in this place." So what did David do? David was like, "Saul's going to come and he's going to kill me. These people are going to turn me over."
See, we have God giving a direct positive, which is saying yes to his question. And so it should be assumed that what God has said will be. Okay? He said, yes, Saul will come and he will kill you and the people will turn you over to him. It's all cut and dry. God knows the future and he tells David what it will be. But the surprise is basically says, so David and his men, about 600 in number, left the place where they were. They left and they kept moving from that place. When Saul was told that David had escaped from the city, he did not go there. The very thing that God said, listen to me, would be did not happen at all. Saul did not come and the people did not surrender David. David used the knowledge of the future to change the future, so the future that God foresaw did not take place with him. Did y'all see that? So God did not lie. What changed? David changed. David changed his location. He changed his present state. God specifically said, yes, Saul will come and kill you there, and the people will turn you over. Now, what did David do? David used what God said and said, I need to get out of here. Because I prayed to God twice, and he gave me the same answer. So that lets me know that the present state that I'm in, I need to relocate and get out of here. Because if I stay in my situation, I'm a dead man walking. So David said, hey, man, let's roll. We up out of here. Because I prayed to God twice, and he said the same thing. I was waiting on God to say, hey, I'm your servant, man. You know, at least say, no, I got Saul. He didn't say that. David's like, hold up now. Let me make sure I'm hearing you. You say, David going to kill me? You ain't going to do nothing about it? I ain't staying here. David left. Now, God's word was the same each time. So what am I saying? Well, I'm saying to you, if you pray to God and God is saying the same thing to you, then you need to look at yourself. You need to evaluate yourself and see how you're living and see what you're doing. Because if you keep doing the same thing that you're doing, then the prophecy is going to be what prophecy is. God know what would have been for sure had David stayed. It never became a part of history, but it might have been, and God knew what would have been, but never was. He's all-knowing. David lived longer because he changed his location. God also said with Nineveh, about it being destroyed. It was a sure thing, yet it never happened because what God foresaw was changed by their repentance. Had they not repented, history would have been just as God saw it. When God says something, he's telling you what he sees. The only way that it changes is not that God has changed, or changed his mind, or wasn't sure about what was going to happen. What changed was you. When you repent, you think basically change what's going to happen to you. When you ask God for forgiveness, you change what's going to happen to you. If you don't ask God for forgiveness, then what is was said to you is going to happen to you. So we need to stop blaming God. God is only telling what he is looking at. That's why people don't like to go talk to prophets. Because prophets tell you what they see. Folks don't like to talk to prophets because they don't want to hear what God has to say. God knowing of something does not mean that it will certainly be. For by prayer, we gain insight that can change what is going on. God sees all the possibilities. God may see that I will go off the road and get injured. God sees that. But see, you can get that traveling grace and mercy that will keep you from veering off the road. Amen? So we need to understand. We need to understand this is to use precaution and take action that will prevent what God sees from being the actual story. See, if God tells you not to go back to a relationship, he's only telling you what he sees. Understand me. If he say, don't go back, God is telling you what's going to happen. Now, you can change that by not going back. But if you go back, what God sees is not going to change. Amen? God saw what would be if David had not prayed and had stayed. But God, but David did pray and did not stay, and this changed. So what God saw was to be never came to be. If this was not the case, all prayer would be meaningless. There's a reason why God say pray. Because see, if prayer didn't mean anything, then when David prayed to God, it was useless. But prayer meant something because he's got an answer for what he was praying for. God told him yes, and he told him yes again. Now, David didn't like the answer, but God did respond. So what did David do? He relocated. Prayer changes things, even the things God knows would be if things are not changed. God knew Saul would come, and God knew what Saul would do, because Saul was crazy. I'm going to tell y'all right now. I mean, Saul was crazy. You read about Saul. Saul took a spear and threw it at David's head. That man was crazy. Prayer can even change what God knows would be. God has made man not a mere puppet. But see, this is what I like. This is the revelation I got. But a co-writer of history. God also made us a co-writer of history. So we can change that. If we pray to God, God can see the future when we do his will, and he can see the future where we do not his will. He can see the future where his name is honored through us and the one where it is not. He can see the future where we are delivered from temptation and the one where we are not. God sees everything, knows everything. When you think you know somebody you don't, I don't care how long you've been married, you don't know your spouse like you think you do. I've been married 8 years. My wife just discovered that I drink milk. Y'all think I'm playing with you. My wife said, I didn't know you drank milk. Been married 8 years, she never knew that I drank milk. What is my point? It is not to be funny, but it's to say you don't know me. 8 years we've been together. You don't know that I drink milk because she's never seen me drink milk. But just because you never seen me drink it don't mean I don't do it. Amen? She didn't know that I like olives. She never really seen me eat olives. But when we go to Subway, I put olives on my sandwich. So therefore, she's like, I didn't know you like olives. Baby, there's a lot of stuff you don't know about me. I'm trying to tell you all, when you think you know somebody, you don't know them. But what I'm saying is God knows us. He knows when we sit down and when we get up. He knows all about us. God also knew Paul would do the responsible thing and tell the soldiers that if they if the sailors did not stay on the ship, they could not be saved. See, when a child of God speak to you, and they got a word, y'all better listen. Paul told everybody, stay on this ship. In other words, you stay along with him, you're going to be all right. God knew that the soldiers would make the right decision. Read it. The Lord was not waiting to find out what the soldiers would do. God already knew what the soldiers would do. There are far too many what ifs, but God knows all the what ifs from the beginning to the think otherwise. God is never surprised. To be surprised, you have to be uncertain about what is coming. You have to be ignorant. God is never ignorant about the future or about anything. He's never uncertain about what is coming. You can't surprise God. Let me give you a good example. Let me give you a very good ignorant example. And I have to say it like that because I have to let you see what you need to see when you deal with God. I'm a plan a surprise birthday party for myself. May 3rd in 2020. I'm a plan a surprise birthday party for myself. You be there. So this is going to be a surprise birthday party for myself. I'm planning this, okay? So I'm going to put everything together, send out all the invitations, decorate it, do all of this, okay? I'm going to set the stage for everybody, okay? Y'all going to all be invited. So I'm going to set the stage for you. Now, here's the thing. Y'all need to understand something. First of all, it ain't a surprise, so I can take that out. It can't be a surprise if I'm doing it myself. So therefore, it's not a surprise. If I invite everybody to be there, I know who has an invitation, I know who's going to be there, and I know how it's going to be set. Understand what I'm saying. I know who's going to accept the invitation, I know who's not going to accept the invitation. What is my point? My point is, God knows the future as you plan your birthday party. He knows it as it is. He cannot be surprised by anything. God knows the future because he plans the future. He is never surprised because he is not surprised by what he plans. It's like planning your own party. He can't be surprised by that. God knows all things, past, present, and future, real and potential, and he knows them all at the same time. He not only knows what was and what is, he also knows what will be. More than that, he knows everything that could be, but is not. He knows all of this. I'm going to tell you something. If there's anybody you want to talk to, that is somebody who you should talk to. It's God. Because somebody that knows all, that's who we should be talking to. We shouldn't be running next door to talk to a neighbor or a coworker or a friend. We should be talking to God who knows everything. The Lord is a God who knows everything. His understanding has no limit. God has no limit. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare. Everything is laid bare before God. He numbers the hairs on your head and knows the hairs that's falling off now. He knows the words before you speak them. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows your prayers before you pray them. He knows when you get up in the morning and when you get up out of bed. He knows all of this. He knows everything you are going to do tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and every moment of every day until the moment you are dead. He records every word you say and will someday call you to an account for every careless, thoughtless, unkind, unchristian comment. Matthew 12:36. That ain't me. That's God's word. He sees everything you do in secret. But both the good and the bad. He hears every whispered word and will one day shout them from the housetop. That's why David said he has pondered and knew me. He hear me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. He felt trapped by God's knowledge of his every word and deed. God is perfect in knowledge. He never discovers anything. He's never surprised, never amazed. That's a powerful God. He never wonders about anything, nor does he seek information or ask questions. And he knows how everything fits together. Now, if God does ask a question, it's not because he don't know. It is merely to start a conversation. He said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was because he put him there. But it wasn't to know where Adam was. It's to get a conversation started. Have y'all ever done that before? Especially, let me just say, kids just don't have a chance. Kids already know they messed up. And the thing about it is, you already know. You just want to start a conversation. The kids, the problem is that they can't plead the fifth. Or they can't say, I would like to exercise my right to remain silent. That doesn't work in a house. Because you already know. Sometimes they even wear in the evidence. Amen? So therefore, what I'm saying is you already know. All you do when you go to your children, you say things to get conversations started. And when you know when you're really getting ready to get it by a parent is when they're no longer talking like this, meaning normal. They start talking like, when their mouth is shut and they trying to speak. That's when you are close to getting pop. The only thing I can tell you is to watch whatever hand that they're dominant with, just watch their hand. That's the only advice I can give you. If your mother is right-handed, keep watching the right hand. If she's left-handed, watch the left hand because it's coming. My point is you cannot surprise your parents with things. How we expect to surprise God? God knows everything completely. God already knows who's going to win the election. We're the ones that don't know. That's why they have to do this vote. We don't know who's going to get in there. God already knows who's going to get in there. And then as soon as the person that gets in there that we don't want in there, we go, oh, Lord, it's over for us now. Oh, Lord, we're done. How are we done? Who are you worshiping? Are we worshiping the person that sits in the White House? Or are we worshiping the person that sits on the throne? See, it depends on who you are worshiping. Because if your treasure and your self is here on this planet, then I can see that. But if you're a child of God, I need to correct you this morning. Because your trust and your faith is not who sits at the White House. I believe it's Pennsylvania Avenue. There you go. I knew Ricky. That's why I kind of turned that way for him to help me out this morning. My point is, if your trust is in God, you don't fear that foolishness that they got going on out there. Because you serve an all-knowing God. God knows what's going to happen. God knows what I'm getting ready to do. God even knows right now that you want my sermon to cut short. God knows all of that. I mean, God knows that you're like, he knows your thoughts from afar off. He knows it before you even say it. God knows all about you. He knows when you go for your keys, that's the symbol to say the preacher better hurry up because I got to go. God knows that you don't have to go to the bathroom, but you get up and leave anyway, thinking, making the preacher think that you got to go to the bathroom, and then you go for the exit. God knows all this. You can't fool God. You may trick me. I may say, well, I think brother so-and-so is still in the bathroom. No, he been gone. What do you mean? I seen him get up. No, preacher, he left. What? He left? Okay, I thought they went to the bathroom. I know I ain't see him no more. God knows all of this. He sees you driving off in the parking lot with your blinker on, speeding. God knows that. He knows everything. You cannot hide anything from him. I may not know it because I'm not everywhere. Understand what I'm saying? I'm still here preaching. You left. God is all-knowing, all-powerful. There is nothing that is hidden from him. Whatever you do outside of morning worship, God is looking. He is aware of it. This is why some people, you see them being blessed more than others, because, see, God knows that when church is over, he knows that inside of them they're still worshiping. God knows that there's still praise going on inside of them, and he knows that they are still worshiping him, and God knows that it ain't fake. See, anybody can come here and get the routine down because you know the order of service, and that's not just here. That's in any church. We are programmed. You'll be like, okay, brother so-and-so going to get up right about now. Yep, right on time. And don't let them be late. You'll be like, well, what's taking them so long? You know, God knows that a 2 minute song, we turn it into 4, 5, 30. God knows everything. There's nothing he doesn't know. He is the all-knowing Lord who prophesies the events of the future, including the death and resurrection of his own son and the return of Jesus Christ at the end of this age. He knows he's coming. He predicted it. He said it. I believe it is going to happen. Now, whether it happened in my lifetime, I don't know that. But I know that God said it will happen. Now, there's a couple of things. Either I will be resurrected, or I will come back with the saints. It's going to happen a few ways. But my point is what I'm trying to get you, I'll be either caught up in the air or I come back with those saints, with Jesus. Understand what I'm saying. He said his son is coming back. Believe me, he's coming back. And I was just sitting there watching, looking at people and just kind of observing them. You know, Friday we went out there to Forest Park for the balloon race. And the weather kind of changed a lot of things. See, we didn't know that. Had we knew that, we wouldn't have went out there. Because it kind of changed everything. I didn't know the weather was going to come and the winds was going to be high. You know, my daughter was upset. She was mad and everything. And so my point is, have I known that, we could have saved some gas and stayed at home. But see, now we burn gas going all the way across the river, you know, and good thing I was there because my wife went all over the place and didn't know where she was going, but it was her idea. My point is, we didn't know all of this was going to happen. And I'm sitting there watching people living, just living. Don't care, didn't seem to care, or nobody is really looking and seeing the signs of the time as if Jesus is coming back. There's no sense of urgency these days. People won't come to church. I guarantee you, as I said, God sees all and knows all. God knows what everybody's doing right now who's not in church. God knows who worked late at night and just got off. He knows them. He knows the ones that was clubbing, that could have been at home, that could have got rest, and it could have been here this morning. God sees all of that. But see, I'm not the judge, and I don't judge people. My point is, I'm trying to say that you try to, you know, people try to act civilized when they see a preacher. If they see a preacher, they be like, you know, be like, oh, that's a preacher over there. Then they don't want to drink. They don't want to do the things that they would normally do. Then I have some that tell me, oh, you a preacher, you know you can't do this. But then they doing it, and they call themselves a Christian. Last time I saw that the qualification is the same for all of us. The only difference is, me being the preacher, I just know better. But my point is here, so God sees everything that you're doing, everything that you could be doing, and everything that you won't do. He sees all of it. And God is going to make us give an account of our stewardship. The one thing I want to say to you is that no matter what you try to hide from the preacher, no matter what you try to hide from the church, God's eyes is on the sparrow, and I know it is on us. Amen.